You are listening to a sermon series from Open Door Fellowship Church.
Good morning. I listened to last week's message. I wasn't here. And I think your greeting for John last week was more significant than that. So John is not the only insecure person that preaches at Open Door, so I just want to keep reminding you of that. You know, Grace and I have been married for... No. All right. Oh, man. Now I'm ready. You know, Grace and I have been married for many years, and this morning, you know, it just first still happened. So this morning, I'm getting ready to leave, and I'm walking out the door, and my wife says to me as I'm walking out the door, very loudly, "Preach the word." She's never done that before. That was a first for Grace and for me. I'm still chuckling inside of me over that reality. Last Sunday night, several of us had an incredible experience. I want to share it from my perspective. I was really blessed last Sunday night. Some of our young mothers have come alongside a family that is in real crisis over their baby. And so they put this dinner together, and they put a silent auction together with it. And I listened to them last Sunday night, and I just was so blessed. I was so touched at their coming alongside this family. I said to Grace, "You know, honey, I don't think these women even knew it was in them to do it until the opportunity came. And then when the opportunity came, they just became unbelievably committed to coming alongside this family. It really blessed me." My additional thought was, wow, with families like that at Open Door, we're in a good place. We're in a good place. That was an exceptional experience. We are in Romans chapter 8, and we're going to do verses 5 to 13 today. I told Mike in preparation for today that this particular chapter is like a 10-week series on the Holy Spirit, and we're going to do it in 30 minutes. So, but I want to share with you kind of like a purpose and a goal for what we're going to talk about with the Holy Spirit. I would love us in this time, and when I come back for the second part of this message, I would like us to ponder something pretty deeply. Can I learn to trust the work of the Holy Spirit of God in me? Can I learn to trust the work of the Holy Spirit of God in me? With a goal in mind, and we'll see this in John in just a minute, but the goal we have these next two lessons is this. Can I trust the Holy Spirit in me to glorify Christ in me? For Christ to be glorified in me. For Jesus, the Son of God, in all that he is and all that he's done, through the Holy Spirit of God, be witnessed in me and my life. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to have you stand, please, and we're going to read together several verses, and we won't be able to get to all of them, but we're going to hit some as hard as we can. Let's start with verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Let's keep reading. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Thank you. You may be seated. As I go through some of these verses, I would like you to know that I really want us to emphasize the last two verses we read as we get to that. And part of that reason is we have spent some time now on all of these truths, and now Paul is doing something. He's saying, okay, do you believe these things are true about you? And we say, amen. And then he says, now we're going to finish up with an understanding of the provision that God has made in you so that these truths can be true about you, and that's the person of the Holy Spirit in us. As I was thinking about this morning, I was thinking that we know the scriptures tell us that the Holy Spirit inspired the writers. Imagine Paul being inspired by the Holy Spirit to write about the Holy Spirit. It's like the Holy Spirit is saying to Paul, these are the things I really want them to know about me. I want them to understand their relationship to me and the significance of my person in them. I've suggested these things that the Holy Spirit of God wants to show Jesus to me. The Holy Spirit of God wants to do something. He wants to mature me in Christ. The Spirit of God wants to do something. He wants to prepare me for the purposes that Jesus has for my life. And the Holy Spirit of God wants to send me into those purposes. And I want you to think about that with me this morning. He's going to make these contrasts, as you can tell. So let's just put up the first slide. I'd like to have you look at this with me. In order for me, I'll make this very personal, in order for me to help me understand the theology of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, I come to this reality. I find that if I understand the theology of Jesus regarding the Holy Spirit, then I'm going to have a much better idea of how to understand what the New Testament teaches me about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said these words, he's going to send another comforter, and he'll be with us forever. He calls him the Spirit of Truth, and he says you will know him. He's a person. He says he will dwell with you and in you, and I've said this many times in different messages. At this point, Jesus is introducing a whole new theology of the Holy Spirit. Up until the death of Jesus on the cross, the Holy Spirit only dwelt with men or upon men, but he never dwelt in men. Now, I want you to pause with me for a minute. This is very profound. Something is very different about you and me when we accept Jesus Christ. We are so different that the Holy Spirit of God can dwell in us. If we were not, we've said it, we've been teaching it, if we were not in fact imparted with righteousness, righteousness is in fact a quality of who I am in Christ. The Holy Spirit of God could not dwell in me. He calls the Holy Spirit there. He says he will teach you It should say what I said. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but he will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. I wanted to review that with you very quickly, but there's two phrases in there I want us to really think of this morning. As I look at Romans chapter 8, how is it that Jesus Christ is being glorified in me because of the Holy Spirit? As I look at chapter 8, how is that true? Let's go to the next slide. He says in verse 4 that we can walk according to the Spirit, and he says to set our minds on the things of the Spirit. If you go in your Bible or just open it here, he says these words. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. His contrast is this. I, as a Christian, live in the reality that I'm a new creature in Christ and I have flesh. But I don't have to live according to the flesh. That's an option only the Christian has. I get to live according to the Spirit. I can set my minds on the things of the Spirit. I want us to look at the next verse. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. When I make the mistake as a Christian of allowing myself to believe I'm who I've always been, then in believing who I've always been, I will think as if I were still a man only of flesh. But what if this were true? What if the Holy Spirit is in me, and now I can dwell or think or have my mind preoccupied with the things of God in the Spirit? And he says this in that verse. I want to catch this last part. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Two things we teach a lot here, and I want to make sure we capture them. It's this one. Because I accepted Jesus Christ, God made me a new creature, and I have life. Here's the essence of that life. Do I, as a Christian, know how to live out of who God says I am? That's the essence of that life. It's not just a matter of not being dead. It is a matter of having a life that is, in fact, something God intends for us to live out of. To live in the Spirit, to have the mind of the Spirit, is to live in that life and peace. And that's about the God thing. I have, as a Christian, peace with God. My relationship with God is different. Because of the Spirit of God, I have life and peace. I have a relationship with God that is different. So my question for me and for us this morning is this: Do I believe it? Do I believe it? As I said to you maybe a couple of weeks ago, I spend a lot of my time now with leaders trying to help them develop some deep, hardcore convictions. And let me give you one this morning. What if I could say as a Christian, I believe the Holy Spirit is in me. But what if I could say this? I am learning to trust the Holy Spirit who is in me. And I am learning to act upon that trust. That's a conviction. It is one thing to say, I believe the Holy Spirit is in me. It's another thing to say that I act upon and I trust the person of the Holy Spirit in me. He comes into these verses, and as you can see, he creates a contrast, and he says, those who are in the flesh are hostile to God. They do not submit to God's law. They can't. They cannot please God. I don't want to talk about that person today. I want to talk about you and me. Let's look at the next slide. It says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you. Without the Holy Spirit, you do not belong to Christ. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, and the Spirit is life because of righteousness. A little while ago, when I was thinking with you about what Jesus said, if Christ is in you, my body is dead to sin, but the Spirit is life in me because of righteousness. It took me more than a few years to really come to this understanding and truth. It really did. I teasingly say that when I was in Bible college, I must have missed the week we studied the Holy Spirit, because I don't remember getting much out of my Bible college experience with the Holy Spirit. It wasn't until I was involved with Campus Crusade for Christ, that little blue booklet called The Holy Spirit. Some of you remember that. And it opened up my understanding to the reality of a person called the Holy Spirit alive in me. But it was years for this man to begin to understand what Paul's teaching in this chapter about the fact that I can trust this person, the Holy Spirit, who is actually in me, because I am not who I used to be. It took me a long time to learn what I just told you. I saw myself for years in conflict with the Holy Spirit who was in me. I saw me battling with the Holy Spirit instead of my flesh or the Holy Spirit battling with my flesh. So that became a huge aha for me. And let's go to the next slide. If the Spirit who raised Christ is in you, he will give life to your mortal body through the Spirit who dwells in you. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, flesh, you will live. This is where I really want to mostly concentrate this morning, because I find this is where most Christians are amazingly confused about the work of the Holy Spirit. I'd like you to put up the next slide. How to put to death the deeds of the body. Here's a very, very reputable theologian whose commentaries thousands of people read. And these are his words. This is how he suggests we put to death the deeds of the body. A, we are to repudiate all wrong. We're not even to think about gratifying sinful desires and its pleasures. That'll work. We're to pull sin out, look at it, denounce it, hate it for what it is. Only then you have finally dealt with it by putting it to death. If temptation comes through what you see, handle, or touch, or where you go, then you must be ruthless and not looking, not touching, not going. And in doing so, you are controlling all approaches to sin. Listen, I did not edit this. This is verbatim. And in order for actions 1 through 4, it'll require you to take your cross daily and die. Now, I want to say this carefully. That is the predominant teaching of Romans chapter 8 in the church today. That the way we deal with the deeds of the flesh is we go through a process very similar to this. Another writer said this, in order to do it, you have to recognize sin for what it is. In order to kill sin in you, you have to develop a heart for God. In order to kill sin in you, you have to learn to trust God's word. In order to kill sin, you have to pray fervently. In order to kill sin, you have to begin practicing obedience. In order to kill sin, you have to perfect holiness in you. And when I read those things, I'm sorry, but I just kind of go, good luck. That's just my theology. It's just good luck. If I were going to say to you one thing this morning, I would wish all of us could trust, it's this. How to put the death, the deeds of the body, is something like that or this, are to trust the work of the Holy Spirit in you, and you will live. What does that mean? Again, I'm learning, but I'm learning it means something like this. I believe that God intends you and me to live our Christian lives in the moment, in the presence of right now. And I believe that in the moment, in the presence called right now, that I have absolutely no ability to deal with my flesh at all. So any instruction like this or this list of seven, it's useless to me. Denying that I have flesh is idiocy. But I have flesh. And learning to live in the moment, I'm learning to do this. You know what we teach. The power of sin is not in the act of my sinning. The power of sin is in the permission that I give myself to sin. And in that moment, only I as a Christian get to make a decision. Am I going to give permission to my flesh to sin, or am I going to give permission to the Holy Spirit of God to stand against my choice to sin? You see, it's just not that the Holy Spirit is wanting us to deal with our sin. He wants that. But he wants us, more importantly, in my opinion, to mature into who Jesus has made us. And some of us, what we want is we just want, God, deal with my sin. Because, God, I don't want to have anything to do with the purposes of God. They're inseparable. You can't have one without the other. So in the moment, something's going to happen. The Spirit of God who is in me is going to be constantly nurturing in my maturity love. He's constantly nurturing in me the purposes of God. And when he does that, it's not like my, it's never been, by the way, you hear this man very personally. It has never been the object of my Christian life to not sin. Well, then why are you preaching? Isn't that everybody's object? It's not mine. The object of my Christian life is not to not sin. The object of my Christian life is to live for Jesus Christ. That's the object of my Christian life. I want Jesus to be glorified in me. Therefore, because I know I do sin, I want to not have a list of things that I know don't work. In the moment, I want to trust the Holy Spirit of God in me. And some of you are going to go, and it works every time, right? Golly. No. You've heard us teach this, and I want to just really say it loudly. You see, when I, as a Christian, understand that God wants me to mature, and in that maturity, I am loving like these women did Sunday night, and I am sacrificing, and I am engaged in the purposes of God, I honestly will not sin as much. I won't sin as much. And when I am not sinning as much, it doesn't mean that I won't sin. It means that this man, Bill Thrall, spent time understanding that I deliberately make choices that are dishonoring to the God I love. And I know this freaks out so many people who hear our message. They just go, oh, you guys, you're just giving people freedom to sin. No, we're not. Grace never gives freedom to sin. Ever. What it does is it causes me to understand how much I need the Holy Spirit. Listen carefully. When you struggle with a sin, have it draw you to how much you need the Holy Spirit, not a commitment to not do that sin. If you don't get this, I'll tell you what, it won't work. Nothing else will work. Just, there you go. Well, it can't be that easy. Oh, it's not easy. It's not easy. Anybody that just says, well, it's so easy. You guys are just teaching people that they can get away with anything. I may be very odd, but, you know, I don't want to get away with anything. I don't. I hate what sin does to me. I actually despise what your sin does to me. I hate it. I don't have any desire to set my mind on the things of the flesh. No, and neither should you or I. So I'm saying this morning, as I look at what Paul's teaching us, I'm asking Bill the question. Do I believe that because Jesus Christ is in me, that I have the Holy Spirit of God? Do I believe that? Well, we all may raise our hand and say yes. But do I trust that Holy Spirit of God in me? Do I humble myself and trust Him? Do I submit to Him? Do I, in fact, let Him stand against my flesh, because I cannot? One more aspect of this, trust the work of the Holy Spirit in you, is the Holy Spirit is also in you. Isn't that wonderful? He's not only in me, but He's in you. And He has given us to each other for this very purpose. I need the Holy Spirit to stand with me against the flesh, and I also need you. I need you. And so when we teach the compulsive cycle, we say to people, what's easier, to tell somebody you've sinned or to tell somebody you intend to? What's easier? What do you think? Anybody? What's easier, to tell somebody you sinned or to tell somebody you intend to? Yeah, it's always easier. It's hard, but it's always easier. What if our relationships were so committed to each other that in trusting the Holy Spirit in each other, we could trust each other with what we intend to do, not just what we've done? See, the power of sin is in the permission to sin. It always is. It's always in the permission. But what if, by trusting the Holy Spirit in me and in you, that coming into the light were to break the process of sinning? And it does. I have one more slide I'd like you to see. This is from The Message. I really love The Message. You know what he does is he captures the essence of the words. So I want you just to look at Romans 8, 12, and 13 from the essence of the words. Here's what he says. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent, no debt? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is to give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons, and these last words just thrill my heart. There are things to do and places to go. Isn't that great? Now, I want you to think about that verse and then that list I read to you or the other thing. What would you rather have? What would you rather have? The burden of you being responsible, or would you rather have the Holy Spirit of God do the work in which I then say, Jesus Christ is glorified in me when I agree that there are things to do and places to go? Amen. I will tell Grace that you said that. I find that when Bruce and John and I and others with us go around and minister, we come to a lot of audiences and we meet a lot of Christians who are discouraged, defeated, and without hope. You know why? Because they've never learned to trust the Holy Spirit in them to deal with the reality of two things: their flesh and the purposes of God. So next time we speak, it'll be in a couple weeks because of the holiday, we want to continue this theme. Let me pray with you this morning. Lord, I just desire from my own heart that this is so much more than just words. That, Father, that I might be that believer that trusts the Holy Spirit of God in me when, with permission, I stand again at a point to do that which dishonors you. And also, Lord, I want it to be true in me that I am a man who the Spirit of God is preparing for the purposes of God. Bless these words today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.